Welcome back to the Future Frontline's second podcast episode. My name is Tash and I'm one of the co-founders of Future Frontline, as well as being a medical student at King's College London. In this episode, I have the pleasure of talking to Angelica, a final year student nurse at the University of Surrey. We have a really honest and open chat about her life as a student nurse, so I really hope you enjoy listening to it. Just a bit of a trigger warning, in this episode we do have a very honest discussion about death and the effects that that may have on us as healthcare students and healthcare professionals. So hi Angelica, and welcome to our podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to speaking to you. I will let Angelica introduce herself a bit more to all of us.
So hello everyone, thank you for tuning in. My name is Angelica, also known as Jelly on Instagram, and I am a final year nursing student from the University of Surrey, but I did start my course in 2016, so I like to think that I've got quite a lot of experience in the field.
Great, yeah, I'm really excited to chat with you today. So obviously you're our amazing nursing team lead at Future Frontline. So I was just wondering if you could maybe tell everyone listening what made you want to join Future Frontline in the first place.
So I've been following Tash on her Instagram for quite a while now, actually. More like stalking.
But, I love that.
And I just saw the advertisement. I love the content that Tash creates on her Instagram. It's just so insightful, really informative. There's a lot of things that I've learned from her page, and I saw an advertisement on her story and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. So, you know, I thought I'd just have a go. This is really out of my comfort zone, so I thought I'd just give it a go. And yeah, that's how I got started with it, and I love being part of the Future Frontline. It's a very diverse community and you just work with so many other healthcare professionals, and it's just very insightful for everybody, really, even if you're not studying anything healthcare.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important because although, you know, at Future Frontline we're trying to educate aspiring and current healthcare students, it's also to educate the general public, because most people, if not everybody, will, you know, have an interaction with different healthcare professionals, and it's so much more than just like doctors and nurses are probably the obvious ones. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people realise the scope that nurses have and what they actually do. So would you be able to tell us why you chose a healthcare degree in the first place, and whether you only considered nursing or were there any other healthcare careers that you sort of thought you might like?
So unlike Jess, if you've listened to the last episode, she knew exactly what she wanted to do when she was 11 years old. I wasn't like that. Even though nursing is a really big thing in our culture, I think most people in our culture become nurses or doctors.
Oh, really?
But I wasn't like that. I think I wanted to be a chef first, really random. And then I wanted to be a teacher, and then it just kept changing. But I took a health and social care course for my GCSE, and I just loved the idea of taking care of other people. I just love the thought of taking care of other people. I love the thought of, you know, you could possibly change someone's life. And yeah, that's how I got started with healthcare. I decided to choose nursing compared to any other healthcare because I think it was the most popular one at the time. So with our course, you could actually change into a different healthcare practice. So you could change your... You can change to a different healthcare course, I think 18 months into the program. So I thought, okay, let's do adult nursing and see how I like it. If I don't like it, I can always change it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I wasn't aware that there were courses where you could sort of change what field you went down. So what other options could you choose after the 18 months?
So you could choose child nursing, adult nursing, and paramedic science, which I did think about choosing paramedic sciences, but I can't drive, and I think that's kind of a requirement to be in the course.
Great. And what did you do to sort of boost your application? And maybe did you get any work experience? And what sort of signed the deal for you, if you like, to start nursing?
Like Jess, we had to have work experience in secondary school. So in year 10, I worked in a nursing care home, and I loved that. I just loved interacting with older people. They're so sweet, so that was really nice as well. And I also did a health and social care course in college. I did a work experience in a daycare center for elderly people with Age UK, and that was really interesting. It was nice to interact with them and to see what they get up to during the day. And I also volunteered at my at the care home that my mum works at. That was really nice. It was very different. I think it was dementia-based care home, so it focuses on dementia on patients. And as heartbreaking as it was to see dementia patients like that, it was just very insightful. And I went, yeah, I want to do nursing. I want to look after these people. I want to, make sure that they're comfortable.
Absolutely. So you recently wrote a really insightful blog post on the Future Frontlines website, and I think a lot of nursing students and other healthcare students will be able to relate to what you wrote. I think it was very powerful in writing about your experience as a student nurse and feeling like people maybe weren't as kind to you and didn't really have the time for you, and almost like you were just being treated terribly, really. Could you maybe discuss sort of what your degree has been like? Obviously, you're in your final year, and sort of your experiences as a student nurse on placement, because I'm very aware of how long you guys spend on placement, especially compared to us medical students. Your shifts are so long and you start from so early on in your degree.
Okay. I as a student nurse in the hospital, I mean, you all have bad and good experiences. It's just part of your learning. In my first year that I did my placement, I did orthopedic, and that was my first placement ever. And that was really nice. I learned a lot. I learned, the basic of nursing, so doing medication under supervision, and then doing blood pressure, doing personal care. And this is a trigger warning for anybody that doesn't like to hear about last offices or death of a patient. But on my second placement, I experienced my first death, and it was very traumatizing. I obviously, as a first year, you don't know what to do at that time. No one, nothing. You learn about it in theory. You learn about it in the university, but nothing could ever prepare you for that. Experiencing it for the first time was horrific, and I tried to tell my mentor that, look, this is my first time doing this place. I'm doing I tried to tell my mentor that this is my first time experiencing a death, and I was expecting a bit more compassion, and she threw me in there, and she wanted me to be hands-on to kind of deal with the body. And that
My
wasn't very
gosh.
nice. And yeah, I mean, but I guess if I ask anybody out there that is a student in the healthcare setting, I would know that a lot of people would have bad and good experiences, but it's the good experiences that you need to focus on. Bad experiences, yeah, they do happen, but think of it as a learning curve, and that will just make you stronger in the end. But
Definitely.
unfortunately,
And
that did happen. But I'm
yeah.
not saying that this is going to happen to all of you or to anyone that's doing healthcare. I was just really unlucky at the time that I had a really bad mentor. But yeah.
Yeah, first of all, I'm so sorry. I can't begin to imagine how challenging that must have been, how difficult. I think, for anybody, I don't think, yeah, for anybody that would be, Yeah, just devastating and really hard to deal with. And I think it's actually a really, really important topic to speak about. And I'm really glad in a way. I'm upset to hear your experience, but I'm glad that we're having the conversation, because I think there's sort of an expectation as a healthcare student that you should just automatically be able to process these things. I know from my own experience, on my psychiatry placement and hearing patients with suicidal thoughts. I think things like that, there needs to be more support in place. And I
Definitely.
don't think it's right just to expect people to be able to deal with that initially. It's definitely, like you say, a learning process. And I'm not saying, any death is going to be easy to deal with, but it definitely, I guess, you find ways to cope. And it's really disappointing to hear that you didn't get that support that anyone would need. So
I
yeah.
mean, unfortunately, it does happen. It's just part of your learning. So it's just part of placement. But I mean, I've had so many positive things that have happened to me in placement. I had such amazing mentors in my other placements, and yeah, it was just one of those things, isn't it? That you just got a bad mentor and that was it. But I kind of took that and I reflected on that, and I tried to see what I could do better. Maybe it was the way that I was speaking to my mentor. Maybe, she didn't really understand what I was saying. But yeah, it happened, and in the end, I just took it as something that I need to learn, and something that, I don't want any other nurses to or any other students to experience in placement. So when I qualify, I'm aiming to be a mentor for students as well, because I don't ever want them to go through an
Amazing.
experience like that.
Yeah, and obviously, we all know, especially in current times, the pressures associated with working in the NHS, and although there are no excuses for the way they reacted to you, obviously there are things that may, support mentors to be more supportive to their mentors. So you mentioned having a mentor. As a med student, we don't actually have that. So could you maybe, tell us how that works, and what the mentor does, and yeah.
Yeah, of course. So when you are in placement, you get somebody called a mentor and a co-mentor. Other universities call it differently, but that's what we call in our university. And it's just someone that you could kind of go to when you need something, or if you're having any problems, any issues in placement, and you can tell them what your goals and what you want to do in that placement. And you work with them quite a lot. I think about 40% of your placement you need to work with your mentor. But it's just a really nice way to kind of have somebody there to support you, and somebody to teach you to do things. And I mean, I find it really useful to have a mentor, because I don't think I could I don't think I could ever, well, before I wasn't very confident, so I needed guidance. And it's also nice if you're really new to healthcare as well, and really new to placement, because they're just there to support you, and most of them are very lovely, and most of them were students before, so they'll know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm absolutely amazed, the number of hours as nursing students you spend on placement, and sort of the length of your shifts. Could you maybe talk us through what that's like? I know some of your shifts are about 12 hours, I think. How you deal with that, and university at the same time. And yeah, just how it works, basically.
In placement, we do 12.5 hour shifts each day, and
Oh my
that's for
word.
that's for 3 days in a week. And I mean, I'm not sure about any other healthcare courses, but nursing is 50% theory. So you're learning university, you do all the theory stuff, and then 50% practice where you go out in placement. And that could be community or a hospital, or even I think a lot of my friends went to a prison placement where, yeah, that was really, I mean, I wanted to do that, but unfortunately I didn't. And it is quite, I will be honest here, and it is quite hard to balance placement, university, as well as your own social life and your own personal life. But with really good time management skills, which I am still learning till this day, so
Not
please
for
don't worry if you don't have
you.
that. And yeah, just planning your time and making sure that you still have time to see your friends and you still have time for yourself, because that is so important, especially if you're working long hours. And I learned that the hard way.
I don't think you're on your own there. I think, unfortunately, I mean, maybe as you know, we've previously discussed, there's an expectation that healthcare workers should just be able to deal with all of this stuff
Yeah,
and
which
should
is really
be,
sad to be honest, but I mean, that's what they expect, so.
So in your blog post, you mentioned that you're sometimes on placement you feel like you're scared of speaking up because of sort of the associations and the assumptions put on you for being a student. Could you maybe sort of tell us why you feel like that and sort of yeah just maybe the emotions associated with these placements that you do?
Yeah, so if you haven't read already, I did a blog post for Future Frontline called Just a Student Nurse, and it's in the title. A lot of students, not even just student nurses, I'm sure a lot of healthcare students feel this way, where they feel like they're just a burden, or they feel that, you know, that they don't belong in the team. And having, you know, quite, I've had some placements where I've not really been treated as a student. I've more been treated as a healthcare assistant, which no one wants. But yeah, I wrote that post to kind of inspire students that we're more than just, you know, we're not just a student. It's the word just there. We're not just a student. We are so much more than that. And it's just a way to kind of tell them that, you know, you just need to be confident in yourself, which again, I've learned the hard way, because I never had the confidence when I started placement. But I wrote that blog post just for people to really, just to kind of inspire someone, at least, even just one person, to kind of, you know that there is something, they're more than a student, that they are making a change and that they are helping other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you definitely inspired me and you sort of made me reflect. And I realized that I often find myself actually saying, oh, I'm just the medical student. And yeah, I definitely feel, I think not just me, but a load of my friends, we feel a massive burden on placement. We feel we're wasting the MDT's time by being there. We feel like we can't really give much back. But actually, it's reminding yourself that your learning is so important. You know,
Exactly,
if people
exactly.
don't give time to train the next generation of healthcare workers, we'll all be
Exactly.
absolutely stuffed.
Exactly, yeah.
And you know, also we're not just a student, like you say. You know, even as a student, we're still brilliant human beings. And I'm sure, you know, I sometimes even just when I take a history from a patient, just me giving sort of some time to a patient can really cheer them up. And I'm sure you guys, you know, make it have a huge impact on patients, potentially in ways that you or sometimes even when you don't think you are. So what are your sort of top tips for, I guess, making the most out of your placements and enjoying them as much as possible?
So I would say to research on your placement to see what they do. So before you go, even before you start your placement, just research their speciality and just find out a lot of abbreviations and what they mean. I mean, I still struggle with that till this day.
Me too, don't
And
worry.
the common medications that that they use in that ward, because I know a lot of, you know, if you were working in oncology, they use a lot of tazacaine and gentamicin, because you know, for a lot of kind of it cancer related infections. I think I'm that's right.
I'm sure.
But yeah, and I think my top tip is to download the BNF journal, the BNF book on your app, on your phone.
Yeah,
that's really helpful, because if you're struggling, if you come across a medication and you have no idea what it is, you can just you know, search up on your phone and you'll have the contraindications there, the side effects, and yeah, and just be confident. Just seriously, you're there to learn. If you're not enjoying your placement, you know, you could always tell your personal tutor or someone at the university and ask, you know, tell them why you're not enjoying it.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good piece of information for probably any healthcare student, actually.
Yeah,
there's so
and remember,
many...
you know, you're not just the student, you are also the future frontline. You see what I did there?
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah, no, it's so true. And I think absolutely all of us at times feel like, you know, we're a bit of a waste of space on placement. And I think it probably comes with like the personality traits that are attracted to these sort of caring positions.
Yeah,
but yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, your experience is really, really important for others to reflect on as well, and to, yeah, to empower others. So obviously at Future Frontline, we're really focused on the multidisciplinary team. And I know that I felt really actually ashamed when I realised my knowledge of all the different healthcare roles was pretty limited, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we often think doctor, nurse, dentist, midwife, but actually there are, well, over 350 different roles within the NHS.
So many.
So what was your sort of knowledge of the MDT like before starting your degree? And maybe you could sort of, why do you think the MDT is important?
So I'm really ashamed to say this, but before I joined the Future Frontline, I had such a limited knowledge on multidisciplinary teams. Like, I'm really sorry, but I didn't know what a physician associate was until I joined Future Frontline. So I learned so much about them. But yeah, I guess when a lot of people think about hospitals, they only think about nurses and doctors. But actually, it's just so much more than that. And ever since starting placement in 2017, I just learned so much about other healthcare professionals, and you know what their role is, and it's so important to have that link with them so that you could kind of give the best care to your patient. So person-centered care, and yeah, I've really enjoyed learning a lot about different professionals in the healthcare industry. So like I said, physician associate is something that I'm also willing to do probably after I finish, which I never thought of until I learned what they do, and they're amazing. And yeah, it's so important to have, you know, to learn more about what other healthcare professionals do, especially now more than ever, actually, because you need that sort of support, that kind of link to give the best care that you can to your patients.
Definitely. And I think, you know, I remember even in my interviews to study medicine, and I think everybody does this, you know, you bang on talking about how the MDT is so important and how, you know, you have to respect every single different role. But in my opinion, that respect only fully comes when you understand each and everyone's role. I don't believe you can properly, you can't properly build that without having some basic knowledge of what they do.
No, you're right, definitely.
And it's,
I mean, we always say that it's so important to work with other healthcare professionals, but you know, you need to understand what they do in order for you to work with them effectively.
So I'm wondering, do you get much teaching about sort of the MDT on your course, or maybe, you know, in the past there was definitely, and probably still is, this sort of hierarchy, horrible hierarchy in hospitals, where, you know, doctors are seen as like the godlike figures, and then, you know, nurses are not treated very well. And actually, I don't think, you know, nurses are recognised by maybe sometimes patients and healthcare and the other healthcare workers, you know, for the amazing work they do. So what do you think about that?
We do learn some about the MBT, so we learn other healthcare professionals, but not in a very, like, just a very basic detail. I didn't know a lot about other healthcare professions until I actually went out to placement and until I joined Future Frontline. And I do think sometimes that hierarchy is still there, especially if I had a patient once where they only wanted to see the doctor. They didn't want to see anybody else. And I do think it is still there, but I think it's more, I think that's where Future Frontline kind of steps in, because, you know, we're here to educate people and to tell them all about these amazing healthcare professionals. You know, it's not just made out of doctors and nurses. It is so much more than that.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that your first placement was in orthopedics. Could you tell us some of the other placements you've had, maybe in the community as well, and what you sort of get up to on those placements?
Yeah, so I said, you know, if you're doing the normal 3-year course of nursing, you're not going to get as much placement as I did, but it's because I did my course in the space of 5 years, because I've had to take year out for mental health reasons and for health reasons. But my first placement was orthopedics, and it's a lot of hip replacements and knee replacements. But it was actually quite nice to have that as a first placement, because you learn the basics of nursing there, and you know there's a lot of personal care, which is really important in nursing. And then I had hematology, which was about blood cancer and sickle cell, and that was really interesting as well. That was a lot of IV medications, which as student nurses, or at least in our university, we can't really do. But it was nice to learn about the medication that they do and the care that they receive. And then I had a high dependency placement, so I had surgical dependency unit. And it's a lot of patients that have gone into theatre and they've had some complications, but it's not complicated enough for ICU care, so they go to surgical dependency unit. And that was quite a small ward. It's made out of 7 patients, I think 3 nurses. But it was really nice because you got to focus on their care. And, you know, they had quite complicated cases there, but you learn the basics of expanding your S-bar and your handovers, because they have quite detailed handovers there. And, you know, it made me realize how bad my handovers were until I got there. And then I also had A&E, which was really nice. I had that before the pandemic started, and I did a lot of CPR there, which you know, you'd think that as a student that you shouldn't experience that, but I think it's quite a good learning experience to have. I mean, my first CPR, I was really I was shaking with it. I was really shaking. So it's, you know, as bad of a situation it is, it's really important to learn how to do it, and nothing could ever prepare you for that as well. But being in A&E, you'd expect to see that as well. And I had community, which was district nursing. We went around to people's houses, took their blood sugars, give them insulin, and did a lot of wound care, which I really enjoyed.
Interesting. Yeah, I think all these things are really important. You know, like you said, you know, your first time experiencing a death, you know, first time doing CPR. Obviously, I think they're all really important to have. It's just the support, the sort of aftercare, if you like, needs to be more in place, and there needs to be more acceptance or less assumptions that, you know, healthcare students will be able to deal with that, you know, yeah, and go home and sleep easily, when actually, you know, if we're that's trying to yeah, get a group of, you know, empathetic and caring individuals, obviously they're gonna be emotionally affected by
exactly,
by yeah, that. So how has your degree sort of changed and been affected by the pandemic?
So a lot of our third year theories were pushed into our final second year semester. So we did a lot of our mm-hmm, theories online, and in September we did I think 2 days of face-to-face learning, which is just to kind of refresh mm-hmm, our minds on simulation and on nursing skills, so like ATE assessments and S-bars. And then we went back to placement. I mean, the university, and I'm sure this is for all universities, are really careful with this sort of thing. So obviously their priority is to, you know, to protect their students and to make sure that the students are safe and healthy. Mm. So they ask, I think they do a health questionnaire to see if you're okay to work in a COVID area. And I wasn't, I'm only allowed to work in a green, clean area because I've got quite a lot of health conditions. But yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, having the pandemic in a way is kind of expanded my learning as well, because I just spent so much more on my computer learning about coronavirus, learning about, you know, what other healthcare professionals do during the pandemic. And yeah, I think that's how it changed. But it's, I mean, I still feel like a nurse, so wait, no, don't do that. Not to make any sense.
Yeah, definitely. So I just wondered, so we've mentioned a few sort of like abbreviations. So you mentioned SBAR and sort of A to E assessments. Could you just briefly tell our listeners what those things mean?
Oh, yeah, no, of course. I'm so sorry.
You don't apologize.
So A to E assessment is kind of the basic assessment that you go through with the patient. So A stands for airway. You check the airways. Is it blocked? Are they breathing? And that's B, that's breathing. C is circulation. So you check the heart rate, the temperature. Are they cold? Are they clammy? D is for disability, and E is exposure, and S bar is, I'm not sure if a lot of healthcare professionals use this, but I think most do.
Yeah.
It's kind of like our handover tool. So situation, so what has the patient come in with? Background, what is their past medical history? That's related to the situation. Assessment, you know, what do you think could be going on, and recommendations of what you think could be done to make the patient comfortable and, yeah, to treat them.
Yeah, I remember practicing like a SBAR thing just at uni, and the recommendation, we were always like, call for the senior doctor. We're like, I need you to come to this ward now. But yeah, no, thank you for just clarifying that. I don't want anyone to be sat there being like, what is that? What is SBAR?
Yeah, no, I'm so sorry.
No, it's just, I guess we just get used to using them, these like terminologies, which really aren't that complicated once you know what it stands for, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, once you know what it stands for, it sticks to your head. I mean, I feel like I recite what SBAR means in my sleep.
Yeah, definitely. So I've really, really enjoyed speaking to you. I think, you know, you've empowered me, and I'm sure you've empowered a lot of people listening to this, that you're never just a healthcare student. You're so much more than that, and
you are so much more than that.
I guess you're really valuable to the team. Yeah, so I noticed when I was finding out a bit more about you, when I was doing my own stalking on your in your sort of biography on Future Frontline, you said that you were interested in sort of the future working in an emergency department. What are your plans for the future? What would you like to do?
Oh. I'm not focused on one thing yet. I have a variety of things that I want to do, but when I qualify, I want to work for a few years in the hospital, and then eventually progress into a master's of either physician's associate or an advanced care practitioner. So I want my original plan was to work in the emergency department and become an emergency nurse practitioner, which they do all the wounds and the stitches, which I actually really love. I know a lot of people hate
Like
that, but I
practical
like
stuff, yeah.
that. Or I want to work as a physician's associate in the hospital. That's kind of my plans for now, but I mean that could change, you know.
No, yeah,
Yeah, that could really change, yeah.
that sounds amazing. I know that both sort of physicians associates and advanced clinical practitioners are kind of newer roles within the NHS. So what would sort of being a physician's associate or advanced clinical practitioner give you? What would they do differently to a adult nurse?
So, being an adult nurse, you stay in the ward, you do medications, you do all the nursing stuff. Whereas if I progress into an emergency nurse practitioner, for example, I get to know so much more about medications, and you just have a lot more skills to do suturing and do wound care, which again, I think I really like wound care. But I guess it's just more of for experience and just progressing your learning, because I mean being working in healthcare, you never stop learning, and I
Absolutely, yeah.
want to try and progress that into something different than nursing. So I want to try something else in the healthcare field and see how that goes.
Yeah, amazing. And I think, that really just emphasizes the point that there are so many options. Even after you do, do your degree, there are so many more possibilities for sort of further training and different pathways, which is really exciting about going into a healthcare degree, I guess. And like you said, it's all about experience, and I know that you guys as student nurses have so much experience of like real life clinical placements. Sometimes I'm like, what even is a hospital? Like, what is a patient? How do I talk to them? So I think that's absolutely amazing. And when you I'm sure when you graduate, you'll just fly into the role of a nurse, you'll have
Hopefully.
no problems at all.
Oh, thank you, Tash.
So, what sort of piece of advice would you give anyone sort of maybe interested in applying for nursing, or maybe just starting out in their first year now?
I would just say to go out there with your head held up high. You are doing something amazing. The fact that you're even considering to apply in the healthcare field, the fact that you're doing a course during a pandemic is incredible. You need to believe in yourself. You have so much to give in placement, and don't let anyone tell you that you are just a student nurse.
I think that's so inspiring, and that's such a nice thing to tell others. Do you have any advice, maybe for how somebody can grow their confidence a bit and, start believing in their abilities?
Yeah, so I mean, I read quite a few books and I do a lot of research in my time, just to see what's going on in the world, in the healthcare world, and just to expand your learning by, like I said, learning the abbreviations or before going into placement, or something that you're interested in, to research that and to just to learn more about those topics, and that can really build your confidence. So you're going in placement, knowing what you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be amazing just spending half an hour the day before just researching a little bit, so you feel a bit more clued up as to what even that ward is, what kind of patients they see. So if anybody has any sort of further questions for you, would they be able to get in touch with you perhaps through Instagram?
Yes, so I'm always on Instagram. My page is very mixed. So it's called Self Care with Jelly, and it's about nursing, self care, fitness, and motivation. So please feel free to drop me a message. I am always on Instagram. I don't think I ever leave Instagram. Yeah,
Amazing.
I'm more than happy to help anybody and to give anybody any advice.
Amazing. That's really kind. And we'll leave your Instagram handle in the description bar below. So you can all go over to Instagram now, follow Angelica and send her a message if you would like. So thank you so much for joining me on the first day of 2021, actually, where we
Yeah,
are
happy New Year
recording
to
this.
everyone listening. We hope that 2021 is a lot more better than 2020, but
Absolutely. So thank you so much. And I can't wait to chat with you again once you've qualified as a nurse. But good luck with your final year.
Thank you.
So I really hope you enjoyed listening to that podcast episode as much as I enjoyed recording it with Angelica. And do stay tuned as we will be releasing our next podcast episode, which is with a lovely dental student next Tuesday.